The Bible has a lot to say about pleasing God or pleasing man. Choosing which way to go can be a very difficult decision to make. Do we please the men around us and receive the benefit that come from them? Or do we instead seek to please God, knowing that He will reward us, but that often those rewards are received much later? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This week, Pastor Jim addresses the very difficult decision of determining who we're going to please. It's a decision that we all face every day. And every one of us, for every choice that we make, must face the consequences of those decisions. Wouldn't it be better to have the reward that lasts, the blessing that endures? So settle in and join us as Pastor Jim explores this vital issue.
Galatians 1, verse 10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Father, as we study today in your word, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move among those who are here, that they would be touched by your word, that they'd be moved by your word, and that they would choose, Lord, in their life to not only consecrate it to you, but to do all to please you, Lord. And we give you the glory. I ask, Lord, that you use me now. Speak to them. In Christ Jesus. Amen. The Bible has a lot to say, doesn't it, about pleasing God rather than pleasing man. There are consequences to every decision. Would you agree with that? I commented on an article about sports this week. One of the chief players was talking about some things that he wants to do in protest. And people were saying he doesn't have a right to say that. He's paid all this money, all this stuff. Well, that's not true. He has every right to speak freely, doesn't he? I have every right to speak freely. I have every right to stand here and tell you what I believe God's word says. But in doing so, there are consequences. One of those consequences is that people like myself, and there's thousands of us, will no longer be watching that particular sport or that particular player or that particular event, if we don't like what they say. They have the right to say it, and we have a right to make our decisions and to say what we want. But whenever we say anything, no matter what it is, there are consequences to be paid. When we speak the truth of God, there are consequences to be paid, aren't there? What we have to measure is the reward of God's glory greater than the consequences that we pay in this world. Really, what that boils down to is, are we willing to pay the consequences of pleasing God, or are we willing to pay the consequences of pleasing man? That's what it boils down to. So as Paul has begun this letter, this epistle to the Galatians, he's addressing the issue of the false prophets, of his own reputation being slandered, and he simply says, am I seeking the approval of man or of God? Well, Paul's life shows what approval he was seeking, doesn't it? All those things that Paul faced. You know, we might say, maybe Paul should have learned his lesson after the third time he got stoned, right? After he'd been beaten a few times, maybe he should have learned his lesson on what he said. He did learn. And he learned that the reward of God's glory is greater than the consequences of not pleasing men. This is a very difficult concept for us to take. It's easy for us to say. I mean, I don't think anybody here would argue that we should please God before we please man. I don't think there's one person here. In fact, I don't think there's one person that's listening on the radio or listening on the internet that would argue that point. But how it plays out in our life is a completely different thing, even within our families. Something I have seen over and over within the family dynamics is a man who is afraid to offend his wife, so he does everything he can to please her, even if it displeases God. You've seen those families, because very quickly the wife becomes the head of the household. And when the wife is the head of the household, that household is out of the order of God, isn't it? When we get out of the order of God, we are in sin. You could argue, well, obviously, the man wants to please his wife. I absolutely agree. I want to please my wife. First, to tell you that when we disagree on something that pertains to honoring God, I stand my ground. Not that it happens very often. Not that it's happened very often. But when it does, I will stand my ground because of what I believe. And it is her responsibility to stand her ground for what she believes. And if it is different, we really need to look and see why so that we can come together on it. But we have a responsibility to please God. I think of Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph? It takes up a number of chapters in the book of Genesis. Joseph was the favorite son of his father. Joseph was, shall we say, the golden boy. His father, we know, made him that special coat of many colors. We know that Joseph's brothers were jealous of the father's special love that he had for Joseph. And then we know that the day came when Joseph came upon the brothers, and the brothers snatched him up and threw him in a pit. There was discussion of killing their brother because of his special position. And then finally, I mean, there's a lot of chapters here to cover this, and we're not going to go through all that today. But finally, the decision is made that they're going to sell him into slavery. And so they sell him into slavery, and he's taken to Egypt and sold to Potiphar. And then it says that Joseph came to a place in the household of Potiphar, that Potiphar put all of his household in Joseph's charge. And then when the lie came, and Joseph wound up in prison, again, because of Joseph's commitment to do what is right before God, because of that commitment, he gets elevated within the prison, doesn't he? And what was read this morning out of Genesis 11, it says in verse 23, the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. We could say, well, he didn't make everything succeed. He got snatched up by the brothers, sold into slavery and into prison. Wherever God took him, he was successful, wasn't he? Because he wanted to honor God with everything. He didn't just give lip service. Too often, we as church people give lip service to honoring God. We'll sit in a Bible study or in a church service and we'll amen that. Oh, yeah, well, honor God. And then we get out into life and we do the very thing that dishonors him. It shouldn't be that way, should it? Unfortunately, we're all guilty. When I was young, I learned to play the game of billiards or pool, whatever you want to call that. I actually got pretty good. I remember seeing a man take a pool cue, hit the ball, and that ball go around the ball that was in front of it and hit the ball on the other side of it and knock it into the pocket. I said, I got to learn that. So I got on a pool table, and for hours, I would hit that ball, and it didn't do that. In fact, it would go all different directions. One time, I remember hitting it, thinking I may have broken the pool cue. More than once, I had to look to make sure I didn't rip the felt. But as I continued to practice it, I started getting to where I could get that English to bring the ball back. I had no control of it, but I could get it to bring it back. And as I continued to practice, I could take that, and I could hit that ball, and I could make it go as far as I wanted in one direction before it started curving in to knock a ball into the pocket. And I've seen people do that with bowling. I've seen some guy throw a ball down the bowling lane, and that ball go just right to the edge of the gutter and then curve back, and he gets a strike. Do you think that was the first time he threw it? No. It takes practice, doesn't it? And friends, let me tell you, it takes practice to be able to do what pleases God when you know it's going to displease man. It does not come naturally. What comes naturally to us is the path of least resistance. What comes naturally to us is when we know somebody's not going to like something, we just skirt around that subject. But that is not what honors God. It has taken years of practice. But I don't have the issues I used to saying what I believe is right before God, no matter what anyone thinks of it. I was thinking back several years back, had a funeral that I was asked to do, and the group of people in the church came to me and told me if I did that funeral, which it was right to do the funeral, no matter who the family was, everybody should hear the word of God, don't you think? It was right to do it. And I had a group of people in the church come to me and say, if you do that funeral, we're leaving. I said, goodbye. We got kicked out of our building in Manhattan when I was told that I would not preach on tough stuff, I would not preach on sin, that people would come to church and leave floating on a cloud. And I continued to preach on what I was preaching. And we got evicted because of it. It gets easier to do. It really does. As you practice doing what is right before God. And part of the reason it gets easier to do is because you begin to see the rewards of doing what is right before God. What was Joseph's reward? Everything that he did, because of his desire to please God with it, succeeded. There is great blessings in doing what is right before God, no matter what. Does that mean you won't go through troubles with it? Oh no, you'll go through troubles. If you want to do what is right before God, you will be called all sorts of things. You will be threatened. Look at the apostles. To do what was right before God, they were killed. They were beaten. They were stoned. They were boiled. They were shipwrecked. They had all these different things that took place because they wanted to do what was right. They were put in prison. But they never forgot the scripture. And they never forgot what they were taught. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. So why do so many people spend more time trying to please man than to please God? And again, I want to make sure I make it clear. It's not wrong to please man as long as pleasing man does not displease God. Okay? You don't have to go out and offend everybody you meet, though it may feel like it sometimes. But when what you're saying and doing goes against God's word, you have to make the decision. You know, as we have watched this thing unfold in California with Grace Community Church, people who you would never have expected spoke out against the church and the pastor because they continued to meet when they were ordered to stop. Why was the church meeting? Was it civil unrest? Was it because they wanted to defy the government? No. No, they wanted to do what's right with the government. They want to please the government, but only in as far as it doesn't displease God. When it got to the place where it displeased God for them to obey the civil government, they had to make a choice who they want to please. Has it been an easy choice for them? Oh no. Oh no. People they thought were friends and allies have spoke against them. They have been threatened. They have been dragged into court. They have had to pay for attorneys. But in the long run, they have been blessed greatly, haven't they? Because they did what is right. John 12, verse 43 says this, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. He's talking about the Pharisees, right? The Sadducees. He's talking about the religious leaders. They love the glory that comes from man. Oh, that man would come up and say, oh, you did a good job. I was thinking about a story. I hadn't planned on putting that in this, but a friend of mine tells a story of when he first started preaching. He had preached at one church and he was nervous and he felt like he really didn't do a real good job. But there was one little old lady that was in the congregation that he knew always had something positive to say. No matter what, no matter who was the preacher, always had something positive to say. And as he was standing at the back and he was shaking hands with people as they left, here she came and he was ready for something positive because he felt really like he hadn't done a very good job. And she gets up there and she takes his hand and she says, oh, that was a beautiful scripture you read. She had something positive to say, didn't she? Maybe it would have been about his preaching. But we do want to please people, don't we? When when I stand up here and preach, I don't want to preach something that you don't like. I don't want to preach something that offends you. But better I offend you than I offend him. I seek his glory. The glory that comes from God to give to God. That is the glory that I seek. That is the glory you should seek. Remember when the apostles were arrested more than once, and they were put into prison, or they were threatened, and they would always be told the same thing. Stop preaching this Jesus in this name of Jesus. Acts 5 verse 29 says this, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. Period. Do what you must is what he was telling the civil authorities. Do what you must, but we must obey God. That's what it means when we say we're a Christian and that we stand with God. It means that we stand with him. We don't really understand that terminology anymore. To stand with somebody, to take the consequences of not following the crowd. We don't understand that anymore. We've come to a place where we want unity at all cost. But that's not the scriptures. The scriptures say that we're to please God. So Paul is defending himself, that he is not seeking man's approval. That doesn't mean that Paul was willing to offend God to please them. Paul said he would do whatever it took. He would become whatever he had to become to save some. But it didn't mean that Paul would become a liar and tell them things that weren't true so that people would follow after Christ. Brothers and sisters, the churches are full of people following after Christ who do not know him. And the Christ or the Messiah that they are following after is not the true Messiah. It is not the Lord Jesus that you and I know. It is someone else. This is so important. Look what it said here in John 5. John 5 verse 44 says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek glory that comes from the only God? How can you say you believe when all you want is to be at peace with man, but you don't seek the glory that comes from God? How can you say you're a Christian? How can you say you believe? Because we know that the believing is a major part. It is the part of being a Christian, right? For God so loved the world. We quote this every week, it seems like. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever went to church, no, that isn't it, is it? Whosoever what? Believed. Whosoever believed would receive eternal life. He didn't say you would receive your best life now either. He said you would receive eternal life. In fact, Jesus said that in this world, for those who truly follow him, there will be tribulation. There will be persecution. That's why he tells us, pick up your cross and follow after me. Folks, the world hates the truth. It does. The world hates the truth. There are churches filled with people who hate the truth. Not my truth, not any other person's truth, the truth. I have been told so often, and I have seen so much that says that something that is true to you may not be true to me. That's a lie from hell. This is God's word. And this reveals a person. And that person says, I am the truth. I am the truth. That's who Jesus is. He is the truth. And the truth is here to know and to follow. It is here in the scripture. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5 says this. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. When we get into the world's religion and doing things according to the world, we very quickly have abandoned our Lord. Our hearts have turned away from him because of fear, because of our desire to please man, all of it. Scriptures tell us who we should fear, doesn't it? It says, fear the Lord. In Romans 12, verse 2, we're told, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and by testing you may discern what is the will of God." How do we please God? Know Him and follow Him. Where He goes, I will follow, is what the song says, right? Is that where we go? Do we follow Him? Or do we say, "Oh, Lord, this path is just a little bit smoother. This path is a little bit wider. I think I'll take that and I'll catch you on the other side." Makes me think of an old song from a movie. "You take the high road and I'll take the low road." We're going to the same place, right? No. 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 Do not conform yourself to this world. We need to be transformed as Christians. We are not of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And we need to know what is right before God. Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 10, "And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." You do that by being in His Word. Discern what is right to the Lord. Discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Know His will. Don't guess at it. Don't take a stab in the dark. Make it an educated guess. Back to that Romans 12 verse 2, that renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Psalm 18 verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my strength and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Is that what the Lord is to you? If that's what the Lord is, then you don't have to worry about what somebody's going to do to you when you speak the truth. You take it on the chin. Holden and I went over to Don and Lloyd's, this was a month or so ago, and the pool heater was broken, so there was no heat in the pool. It wasn't too long after we were there that Holden was all the way in the pool. He talked and talked about how cold it was, and he didn't want to get cold, and he didn't want to get wet. But pretty soon, he was in the pool all the way. You see, what we want to do, we know there's consequences. He knew there was the consequence that he was going to get cold getting in. But he knew that it was worth it. It was worth it to be able to swim and to play in the water. There's consequences to standing before God and doing what is right before men. But they're worth it. Because the Lord is our rock and our fortress. But what we do is we get to pretending. And we pretend so well that we fool ourselves. One of my favorite episodes of Andy Griffith's show, I believe it is episode number 12 of season 1, Stranger Comes to Town. And he knows everything about everybody. And they're trying to figure out if he's from outer space or what. Well, it turns out that he had been taking their paper. He had a friend that was from there, and he'd been taking the paper and learning about everybody as he read about them in the paper, so much so that he began to love the town. Pretty soon he began to call the town his hometown, and he says in the show, he said, "And pretty soon I began to believe that Mayberry was my hometown." We convince ourselves of things that aren't true, don't we? We've all done it. We've all done it. I've convinced myself that this little piece of candy, this extra sandwich, is not going to hurt me. That's a lie, isn't it? We convince ourselves often of things that we want to be one thing, and we do something else. Matthew 6, beginning in the first verse, it says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." That's what the Pharisees did. The scriptures talk about the righteousness of the Pharisees. The Pharisees truly were more humanly righteous than all the people. They practiced righteousness. And when they compared themselves to all the people in the land, there was none who had the righteousness of the Pharisees. But do you know what that was worth in eternity? Nothing. It was worth nothing because it was all of them. And we get to practicing our lies. And when the truth is, as It says in Romans 8:8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. When we're practicing our own righteousness, we cannot please God. We are in the flesh. We need to get before God. And we need to repent and turn to Him.
The question of repentance is really only about how we're related to God. It's not a matter of making human restitutions or amends. It's not about how man sees us at all. It's only a matter of what stands between us and our God. The Pharisees were indeed more righteous than any other men, but only when compared to other men, and only by the standards that men established. But that will not be the measure of our judgment in eternity. We will be judged according to the revealed Word of God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you want to know that you're pleasing in the sight of God, then you must know what God finds pleasing. Fortunately, He does not leave us to guess. He's revealed everything that we need in the Bible. It is always far better to seek to do what is right according to God's unchanging Word than to seek to be accepted in the ever-drifting tide of popularity and culture. We want to thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We'd like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar with stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions to bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with the final word. For the last several weeks, Jared has been with me, and we have been talking about the End Abortion Now rally that we are planning at Lighthouse Baptist Church in St. George. I do covet your prayers. It is important to bathe this in prayer. There's a couple of things that we really want to emphasize in that. The first is clearly to end abortion, to let people see and know exactly what it is that God's Word has to say about abortion. The other thing is for those women and even men who have been a part of an abortion, their life changing. I know a number of people who have been through this, and their life was changed by it in a very negative way. It's something that they never get over. And so I just want to ask you for prayer for them as well, because when we have this rally, there will be those who have been a part of something like that, and we want to be able to reach them with the grace of God. So we ask for your prayers. And then also we want to mention that in Oklahoma City on the 8th and 9th, there is a Abolish Abortion Oklahoma rally. It is a two-day conference, and you can go to freethestates.org to sign up. Thank you. God bless, and goodbye.